Hey, we're doing it. All right, hour three. Here we go. Hello, everybody. Welcome to You, Me, and Them, everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. For the people listening at home, we are recording this at 2 p.m. at the Wonderland Ballroom. The Wonderland Ballroom is a bar in Columbia Heights. It's a bar where people come and occasionally people perform. There's music on stage sometimes. Sometimes there's comedy. There's usually a thing because this is the kind of place that has a stage. It is literally a place with a stage. A stage means it's a place for performers. A stage means it's a place for performers. Not everywhere has a stage, and not everywhere needs a performance. The Houston airport... The Bush airport in Houston, Texas, does not need a stage. And they don't have one, but they do have performers. They have local musicians perform at the Bush Airport. Clearly, don't go to Hobby. We are not speaking for Hobby. That's a totally different airport that I've known about for a very long time. Not that airport. The George H.W.? H.W. Bush Airport, not W. That's a different fella. They have bands perform there. Why? You're there regardless. You don't get to see the band unless you have a plane ticket. So when the cellist slash singer of the band plugged their next gig at the airport, I was confused because I didn't have a ticket for a future flight at the Bush Airport in Houston. I was clearly going to the other airport in Houston at the time. Why would you play? I can't go to your show unless I happen to be traveling through Houston at a specific moment. Because you could be a local. You could be a huge mark for the airport band who never once said their name, but they did say where they'll be performing next, which I think that's ballsy. They think that they're so good. They have regulars there that will tell other people in the airport, oh, this is Phil and Jane. You know Phil and Jane, the airport duo? They'll be huge one day. No, they never said their name. Just the next time they'll be performing in that airport. That is the ballsiest, dumbest plug I've ever heard, and I respect it dearly. Here's the unfortunate part about the band in the Houston airport, who I think is named after a president. They're really fucking good. I really wanted to see their next gig, but I don't even know their names. Now, could I listen to one of their original songs on the computer? No, because they don't do original songs, because people don't wait in airports wanting to hear original music. What they played, this is not a joke, what they played, which is hands down the best song and performance I heard in 2018, they played a mashup of Pachelbel and D with Blues Traveler, The Heart Brings You Back. Come on! What have you ever fucking done? Have you played one airport, let alone a Houston airport, which is clearly the bigger of two Houston airports? And did you play some classical music met with other classical music known as Blues Traveler? That man had so many harmonicas, he had a vest specifically for harmonicas. His best friend died because he was obese. This has been a plug to get your weight under control. Listen, I don't care how big you are, you need to maintain those sugar levels, keep it low. I'm currently eating a protein bar, way too high sugar. I don't want to be a diabetic. I want to live a long and prosperous life, unlike John Popper's best friend, who would have fucking loved hearing his art mashed up with the art of Pachelbel and D. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what this show is. This is classical music meets Blues Traveler in an 11-hour show format with Ian Graham as our house band. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Ian Graham. Perfect. He is perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, Ian Graham is perfect. Here's how I know Ian Graham is perfect. I asked him, we have a 16 songs queued up for the next 4 hours. And I've had weeks to prepare about this. I wrote this down. I knew I was going to speak this at this hour about a month ago. I never once thought, hey, maybe you should learn a Blues Traveler song. So, what, 5 minutes ago? I was like, do you know any Blues Traveler?
Like 10 seconds.
10 seconds ago, when I started the monologue, by the end of the monologue, we're ripping out classics, guys. That's what this show is.
I took guitar lessons in the 90s.
I am so sorry and grateful that I know you as a human being. We're going to go all over the map. We got 4 hours together, so I'm not going to spend much time with you. I'm going to spend much time, Jesus Christ. I'm going to start the hour at 2:23 with an old friend of the show. We're going to talk about something that I've been thinking about and talking about for a very long time. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Ben Fried, everybody. Ben! Ben, what are your thoughts on the band Rage Against the Machine?
You know, they're a band that's loud.
That is true.
And we haven't heard much from them in a long time.
That is true.
Is Zach doing okay? I feel like we don't see him ever.
That everything's a choice, and he made a choice that he did not want to collaborate with the gentleman from Rage Against the Machine for a very long time. Last time they had a tour was 2009.
Yeah.
It's a long time ago.
It's a long time. I feel like we see Tom Morello out there a lot.
Tom Morello is...
He's like hanging with... Like, he hangs out with Springsteen now. And I think I heard him... Like, he was on NPR a couple weeks ago.
Listen,
like,
lots of people are on NPR. We're not going to talk about NPR. We're here to talk about you, Ben
Fried.
Yeah,
okay. I'm just saying, it's... You know... I sometimes I think where Rage Against the Machine went.
The reason why I mentioned Rage Against the Machine... I'm very good at my job. The reason why I mentioned 2009 is because back in 2009... What if I always talked like that? Cosby teaching a lesson. That's the tone I just took.
I mean, do it.
Great man, funny guy. So, I asked my wife this in Syria. I'm like, would you go to an OBGYN in the basement of their house? She's like, no. I'm like, just throwing that out there. No one thought that was weird. You wrote the show. You could have placed it fictionally anywhere. You fictionally placed it in your basement.
God, thinking of that, that's a...
That's a choice.
It's a really telling choice, too.
I know. I'm very, very smart. 2009. Yeah. Rage Against the Machine's on a reunion tour. They're playing Lollapalooza 2008. 2009, they're going to play all the sheds outside. How are we going to find out about these shows? What social media platform should we use? Is it still MySpace? Are we still on MySpace? No. We're on Facebook. Facebook.com. A Place for Friends? Was that MySpace?
I think...
Friendster.com.
MySpace was friends. You're friends with Tom.
Friends with Tom. Good guy. His life was not scored by Trent Reznor.
No.
If Trent Reznor scores your life, you're a bad dude.
I mean,
name one film Trent Reznor has scored, and the protagonist of that film is a good dude.
Oh, shit.
That's right.
Yeah, because it's Social Network and what's the other ones?
Fire documentary.
Fire documentary. Oh, he did do the music for Fire.
They stole music from a different documentary that he did, which is perfect.
Oh, he did the music for David Fincher's Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Yeah, I guess everyone...
Good people.
Everyone in that movie is pretty shitty.
The Boston Marathon movie.
Mark Wahlberg, not great. Also Boston, you know. Boston generally.
You're walking a real fine line here right now when we're talking about tragedy, so let's take it back.
Okay.
2009's Facebook. You are currently a data privacy and security reporter at State Scoop, which means that you have done the right thing, which is get off of Facebook.
I got off Facebook about 2 months ago.
Okay.
After 14 years on it.
Now... Why are you still on Instagram? Are you on Instagram?
I still am on Instagram. So,
you're a liar.
I know. Joke's on me. Facebook still has me. Facebook, the company, still has me in some way.
Mark's got you under his iron claw. Fist? Butt? Boot? I said butt.
Maybe it could be butt. Could be fist. I don't know.
An iron butt sounds like a compliment, but it could be an insult.
Yeah. It's maybe a fist or a...
Did you quit Facebook because of your gig?
No, I quit Facebook because it was something I had been mulling over for a while. I had friends who have gotten off, who had just deactivated their accounts. And every time there was bad news about Facebook, whether it was Facebook being used as a vehicle for... really toxic political campaigns, or Facebook giving third party companies access to user data at greater levels than we were led to believe. It just got to a breaking point. There was a story. It came out in December that Facebook basically built backdoor access to Microsoft and Google and Spotify and a couple other big companies to just let them run wild with all the information that we've been putting in, that we've been giving to Facebook voluntarily for, you know, basically however long, you know, since whenever you signed up for Facebook.
When did you sign up? You said 14 years?
So my college was one of the first, I don't know, 15 or 20 to get Facebook, because back in the very early days of Facebook, Zuckerberg was rolling it out college by college. So fall of 2004 came to my school, and
this is 4 years before Rage Against the Machine reunites.
This is four and a half, yeah.
That's a long time. So you've been on it sincerely then. If you're using this in 2004, I'm assuming you're not using it as a joke. You're posting real things.
It was like, hey, this is like, you know, this is like this new thing where we can talk about our interests and share share photos and you know, stay connected with friends not only at our college but friends at other colleges, and eventually that blew out into the whole world.
When did you stop using it as that but still had it? Does this make sense?
Yeah, when I stopped using it as like the
intended way to use it.
Oh, that's got to be like at least five or six years ago.
Great. So I think that's the thing. It's pretty common that a lot of people say, "Oh, I don't share anything on it. I just use it for events, or I just like to see photos of my cousin's kid or something like that." But you didn't delete it.
No.
Why didn't you delete it when you stopped using it for its intended purpose?
Because I still like would use it for like, you know, putting photos up and finding events.
Okay.
And but in terms of like, is this something that can actually improve my life, that can actually connect me to people more closely? You know, I kind of realized around then that no, that's not really what it's doing. Like maybe I'll see like a nice photo of somebody's vacation or baby or, you know, really well-made meal or something.
You're on Instagram.
Yeah.
Do you want to get off of Instagram?
No, and that's why what I've done is like there's a bit of hypocrisy built into it, because I still want to be on Instagram, because I still want to see, I still want to be able to see, you know, people's, you know, what they're doing, you know, people's like families and their, you know, experiencing what they want, are willing to share. Instagram is in a way more intimate.
Owned by the same people.
Yeah.
Same data. You're giving them, if not probably more, because most photos are geotagged.
Yeah.
So, once again, why use it at all? Because you could just, you know, not see all those things. You could maybe set up a thing with certain people that you could just text each other the photos if you really care that much.
Of course, you know, we do that too. You know, I do that too. But I don't know. I think like there's still some part of that connection of having that lends into people's experiences that you know I can't let go.
I am I'm on the fence. I use Facebook and Instagram just for this show.
Yeah.
And I haven't posted anything sincere on Facebook the entire time I've had it, and I haven't posted any. That's true. In 2011 or 12, you remember this, Ian, I'm sure you did. Oh, yeah. I intentionally liked everything that they suggested one day. And it was either 2 days or 2 hours. Something like, by the end of it, I had hundreds of like books and films and video games. And I didn't play video games. Things that I liked, and it screwed up my algorithm completely. So I've never had...
Your ads were hilarious.
My ads have nothing to do with what I actually do or share. And I've never shared anything sincerely. I would check
That's the
in...
the same for me, though, and I share stuff sincerely, so...
That, well, like, I'll still check into the NASCAR Museum. I've never been to the NASCAR Museum. But so I'll get targeted ads for, like, NASCAR tickets and shit like that. So I've always used Facebook as sort of a fuck you. That being said, I'm still on it. And they're getting all the information they need because of my friend circles.
Right, and you needed to promote the show.
I need to promote the show. So, like, that's why I'm on it. And
The Instagram thing, though, I think that's the one I'm closer to getting rid of.
Really?
Yeah, and it's less to do with the data stuff and more to do with the net gain. I don't know if you're single right now, and it's none of my business. I'm not, right? And I'm not trying to fuck anybody else. So I really don't see the point in Instagram right now unless you're trying to fuck somebody else. Now,
yeah.
Babies are cool. I ain't trying to fuck a baby. So, like, what am I doing on Instagram? What am I doing on Instagram? Like, I know what food looks like. You know, I don't get it. I don't understand the appeal as much as others. That being said, I want everyone to come to the show, and thank you to the people that do. I really appreciate that. Like, that's why I'm on it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would miss anything. And if I don't have anything to promote for like weeks at a time, I won't check it for weeks at a time. Does this make sense?
I mean, and there are stretches where I'll go you know, weeks without opening Instagram.
Yeah, and has your life been hurt in any way from
no? Twitter? Although I will say, with like deactivating Facebook, the Facebook account, because I was using it so regularly for
Facebook,
because I was using it so regularly for almost a decade and a half. Yeah, for the first couple of weeks, it did feel like a bit of a phantom limb.
Oh, interesting. That's a callback to last hour's talk when I mentioned the shins, everybody. The shins is the...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
That is a great time. That is a good callback, but... but
smart. No,
it did feel that way because I would catch it. I would catch myself like typing facebook.com into the browser, and you know, then I would get to the Facebook login screen and say, "Oh wait, I just turned this off yesterday. Yeah. I gotta get off of this."
Thoughts on Twitter? Are you gonna get off of Twitter, or are you still enjoying Twitter? Ben is a reporter, and that means he's legally obligated to use Twitter.
I mean, Twitter is there's so many things wrong with Twitter. Also,
number one, Nazis. Number two,
Number one, Nazis. Number two, terrible management. Number three.
Yep, that's the number two.
Yeah.
Just below Nazis.
Number three.
Pretty closely related.
Yeah.
Touche.
Number three.
I don't like guys named Jack. Get out of here.
Number three, related to number two, it's actually not that great of a product. Just in terms of, you know, user-wise. But
this is a never-ending conversation.
It's become essential for, certainly in media circles, it's become essential
for. This is a never-ending conversation, but we have to end it only because of time constraints. Yeah. I need you to pick a number between 29 and 2.
I can't believe you said that.
59.
I can't believe
this is like book three. I ripped them out. I have to reorder them.
Do you just have copies of this?
Yeah. Sitting back? So pick a number.
So what's the range?
29 to 259.
29 to 259. let's do... 71.
71. Why 71?
I don't know. Why not?
Perfect. We're out of 71. You get 96.
96.
What, if anything, have adults told you to think that might not be true? Do you think they actually believed what they were saying?
What have adults told me that might not be true?
Correct.
That your generation will have it better than mine.
Ooh, that's good and depressing. Yeah. What a great way to end an interview.
Yeah, well.
I'm going to give you this book, The Poisoner, The Life and Crimes of Victorian England's Most Notorious Doctor, because when I think of Facebook, I think of poison. That's for you. And then what's your favorite baseball team?
Well, you've given out all the Nationalist cards. So
yeah, because they suck.
They were bad last year.
Yeah, that's why I said it and made eye contact with you. Your team sucks.
Yeah, well, I guess I'm going to have to go with my team from childhood, which is the Yankees.
Been taken. Where have you visited? Where do you hope Bryce Harper lands?
Well, I hope he lands back here. But
that's not going to happen.
Well,
where do you hope Manny Machado lands?
Oh, Los Angeles. Let's see the Dodgers. Give me the Dodgers. Give me a Dodgers card.
I appreciate you all for being here. Here are four Dodger cards.
All right.
That's for you. If you want to find Ben, go to facebook.com. you could and just type in news and see what shows up. It's a great site for friends and enemies. You know, you could lie on the internet, right? Everyone could just lie. You could lie, just lie. It's a lot more fun, and it's fun and frivolous. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean it's just we've just built a gigantic lie machine.
Yeah, it's called You, Me, Them, Everybody. We're an hour, 3.5. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Ben Fried, everybody. Ben, thank you.
Thank you.
I am excited to have our next guest here. He is a funny man, and he looks frightening to some people. You know why I like you? Because you didn't bat an eye at that. You're like, I know how I look. I know who I am. You're a confident man. Are you a confident man? I think he said the answer to that, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Jamie Manini, everybody. Jamie, the stage is yours.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Keep it going for Brandon Weatherby, everyone. Brandon Weatherby. Keep going for a guitarist. It's very good. I just got here recently, so catch the name. And one more time for yourselves in this 11-hour marathon. Yeah? It's like all the True Detectives. Yeah. I find that like a round of applause is the perfect time to fart, right? You know, no one will ever hear it. Or at least that's what I was just telling myself. Yeah. Have kind of a weird look, you know? Third day, this guy walked into me, and then he turned around, and he's like, hey, why don't you watch where you're going, you transgendered Mona Lisa? You know? Kind of look like Jesus, if Jesus was white. I kind of look like someone who molests clowns. Not so fun when the big red shoe's on their foot now, is it? Now, weird stage of facial hair growth. Where you can't tell if I'm growing a mustache or I just ate a kiwi. Now I am growing a mustache though. And I'm growing because a lot of my friends are having children. And I never want any of them to ask me to babysit. You guys ever gotten a wet willy from someone who really needs to cut their fingernails? Are these jokes relatable? Is anyone listening to me? Here's a more relatable joke. You ever chewed up all your fingernails, and then you run out of fingernails, so you have to hang out behind a nail salon? Wait for them to throw all their nails in the dumpster, right? Eat up all those, and 5 days later, you shit out a human hand? So worse, right, crowd? Have you ever been so lonely that you dress up like a dog just to trick people into touching you? Anyone? A little bit about myself. I collect two things. Cats and stamps. Cats to lick the stamps. And stamps to send in for more cats. Good crowd, good crowd. What else is new? More about myself. Been a lot of abusive relationships, you know. A lot of abusive relationships. Like my ex-girlfriend was a professional softball pitcher, and she would beat the fuck out of me. Underhand. It's really weird, too, because I'd always see her winding up, you know? Then I dated this girl who thought she was a possum. She would hang upside down from my door frame, and we'd 69 all night long. Wasn't until she bit off most of my penis that I found out she was a possum. It's okay, I still have some penis left. Just enough to fuck more possums. I feel like some people like that one. And the rest are calling the police. What else is new? You know what's weird? Space is weird. Space. You know, sometimes I think the moon is just like a nightlight for the Earth. But the Earth is like 4.6 billion years old. When's it going to grow up and stop being such a pussy? Yeah. A lot of people say we're children of the sun. We're children of the sun. I guess that would make the moon like our uncle. You know, like the kind of creepy uncle that silently hovers over you while you're sleeping. Good crowd, good crowd. You guys believe in aliens? Clap it up if you believe in aliens, right? Yes, you're all legally obligated to do that. Now, sometimes I think it's weird that the people that always get abducted by aliens always come from those like rural and rednecky places in America, and they always claim to get anal probed. I think it's kind of weird that if you go to those same rural and rednecky places in America and go to their party cities, they're always sold out of alien costumes. You know, find that strange. Really like the music, really like the hip-hop music, or rip-rop if you're Scooby-Doo. Do you guys know hip-hop spelled backwards is peepo, which is Vietnamese for needs better premises for jokes, right? You know, sometimes I like to wonder like where all the great rap superstars are now. You know, I imagine like Curtis Blow works at a used car dealership. He's like, this is the fender. This is a rear view mirror. This is the bumper. This is the passenger door. These are the hubcaps. And these are the brakes. Bring it on, bring it on, bring it on, bring down. And two crackheads jump out and they're like, those the brakes, those the brakes. Then they steal the brakes to buy more crack, right? MC Hammer works at a museum. He's like, can't touch this. Good crowd, good crowd. It's weird, I'm getting older. Oh, thank you. They have marijuana vending machines now. Clap it up for that, right? Marijuana vending machines? No? Basically like a vending machine drug dealer. The main difference between a vending machine drug dealer and a real one is that if you rob the vending machine, it won't track you down and murder your whole family. Because they don't have feet, am I right? Sometimes I like to wonder like how boring the TV show The Wire would have been if this replaced all the main characters with vending machines. The season finale, this unplug the vending machine. It's a literal wire the whole time. Thank you.
Jamie, please sit for a second. We'll just make this really quick. Number one, I like you very much.
I like you too.
And
thank you.
That's why I feel way too comfortable to make fun of you. So your gift is this fuck your bullshit wall XL shirt.
Oh, I love it.
Because you're one of the only people I know that wears intentionally large shirts.
I know.
And so I feel like that shirt will be too large for you, so you might actually wear it.
I love it. Thank you.
And then I need you to pick a number between 29 and 259.
258.
Ooh, good. We have that one.
Ooh.
This is from the Kids Book of Questions by Gregory Stock, PhD. What is the scariest thing you've seen on film or video game? Do you wish your parents had kept you from seeing it? Or would you like to see something even scarier? It's a three-part question for the children in your life about trauma.
I think actually the scariest thing I remember watching as a kid was we went to Blockbuster, and me and my brother were really into basketball, and my mom saw a movie that said The Basketball Diaries. So she rented the movie and just like put it in the VHS and just left us alone for like 3 hours.
Do you know people who died? No, you probably can't learn that in a second. Yeah.
And there's like a lot of rough stuff in there, and
yeah,
I was pretty traumatized.
That's the perfect answer. That's the perfect answer. Yeah. So that's for you. Oh, and then what's your favorite baseball team?
Favorite baseball team? The Bad News Bears. No?
You can go. Perfect. Jamie Venditti, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you.
Perfect. We'll shake hands. Jamie's been writing stuff for Brightish Young Things recently, and he's got a piece about trying out ventriloquism that's coming out next week, and I'm very excited for you guys to see it. We just took some portraits of him and the dummy, and it's good. I think you'll enjoy it, and I really like him. Coming to stage is my mom's favorite person that's ever been on the show. He's probably our longest-running person on the show at this point. Longer? No, that's not true. Esmeralda's longer. You're the longest DC person. Congrats. I'm sorry. No, you. Sorry, it's still you. Bucket's problematic. You're way less problematic. My mom's never been like, when is Bucket doing the show again? My wife's also never said that. My neighbors have never said, when's Andrew going to be by again? People like you, I'm one of those people. For color commentary, please put your hands together for Heywood Turnipsey Jr. Fucking X-Men theme for Heywood.
I almost wore that shirt today. Oh, wow. Then I remembered it was Black History Month. Hey, way to go, man. Got the band back together.
I know.
Like Ian and Ben on the show. Cool, man. This is great. You with your tweed jacket.
Do you like it or hate it?
I love it,
I'll change right now. I got a second suit right there. That's my later suit.
As long as it has no blackface. Wacka, wacka, wacka.
I'm glad you brought that up. Here's my point about this blackface thing.
Well, let's hear a white man's perspective.
Thank you. I've been waiting for that. Thank you, Heywood.
What do you have to say about blackface?
I don't understand it. Hold on. Let me stop. I understand the appeal of wanting to put on makeup. I get it. But why would you do blackface if you could do The Crow? Why would you do blackface if you could do Sting? Why would you do blackface if you could do The Ultimate Warrior? Why would you do blackface when you could do Ziggy Stardust? If there are other options, if it's just about putting on makeup to feel fancy, I've done that. Oh. Just put on makeup. Like, what? Why you gotta be racist? That's what I'm saying. Did I solve it? Did I finish color commentary? Are we finished it all?
That's it. It's over. It's over. That's a wrap. We have literally done it. We need what do you call those prizes? One of those Nobels. We need
please,
one of those.
Please.
If we got one of those for that comment.
Yeah.
I have a friend named Brian Tinker, and I have to thank him for this. But literally, he put it out there, and it's been the best. I've heard Happy Blackface History Month. That's what I thought it would get, but it's awesome.
Yep.
It is awesome.
What if I opened with that? The show just over?
They did. Way to go, Liam Neeson.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a weird month, man. It's been a weird month to start. It's like, usually it's like, hey, remember all these people who did positive things? Now it's like, no. Let's look at this shit. And the thing is, here, blackface. It is what it is. People know, you guys are a pretty smart crowd, pretty smart audience. So they know the history of it. If you're not, look it up, because the history of it is America. It's minstrel shows and it's entertainment, in and as it were. That's how it all began. That's show business. It's show business, baby.
Literally the first talkie
is
racist.
Yeah. So these things resurfacing are not anything I want to get totally upset about. I'm glad we're having this conversation. It's sad that we actually have to continue having this conversation. It's sad that we have to continuously say, and I'm not talking about just these yearbooks that are coming out. I'm talking about like yearly at Halloween, actually say that's not okay. You dig? Like, it's okay to dress like, what's her name? She was married to Sting for a moment. Heidi Klum.
Oh, yeah.
She
wears
all kinds of makeup. She's once gone as a Hindu deity, and she put an entire blue face. No one can get upset. So even if she went to as Beyonce one day, that's in her track record. That's not for me to get upset about. But for some college kid to say, I'm going as Kanye West, and you put on some shoe polish and a T-shirt and a baseball cap, you need your ass whooped. You really do. And that's really what needs to start happening. And not by me. I'm talking about by the person who put the yearbook together.
Yeah.
Sorry to take you there.
No, I'm... We have some stuff planned to talk about, but I want to mention something that...
Oh, we did have stuff planned, and then race got in the way. How about that? Look at America today.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. It's been pretty good for me, so...
not really, man, because the way I hear it, the white man can't do or say anything. Like, Leslie Nielsen so-called apologized, and people are upset that I'm like, fuck his apology.
You brought this up the last time I talked to you. It's for BYT Radio Show.
Not Leslie Nielsen, Leslie Neeson. Liam Neeson. What's this white man's name that did some dumb shit?
Liam Neeson.
Yeah, I said Leslie Nielsen. Same difference.
He's dead.
Whatever, he was white.
He's dead. He's Dracula, dead and loving it.
Yeah,
so,
he was cool, though. He did the movie with OJ before we knew who OJ was.
I think we knew who OJ was. On BYT Radio, you said that DC crowds don't like hearing about politics because they know how politics work, because they all, not they all, but because they are in
Yeah.
Politics.
It's the industry here. One way or another, we all are tied into the industry of politics, into the federal government, one way or another. Whether we work in the service industry, whether we, like a lot of people, I was just talking to Ali, hit by the furlough. Why? Because people don't want to go out and spend money. That is like closing an auto plant around here. So one way or another, you have people, especially during the Obama administration, a lot of people moved here for the betterment of the world. They brought the ideas from their places and were like, hey, we can go to the place where we can make that change, which is also great. But at the same time, go back home and make that place better. Not saying go back home. I love the property value that white people have brought. I really, please bring a friend or two. Like, I love it.
Well, the reason why
have some kids, shit, let's make this a home.
I agree with you on all of that. But you wanted to talk today about Kamala Harris and Cory Booker.
Yes.
Why would you want to talk about that in this industry town?
Well, in this town, it's the question. Those folks, okay. People are like, hey, these folks are running for president. Who are we getting behind right now in 2020? That's the question right now, because we have to really start thinking about who we're going to get behind and who are we going to bring into D.C. from the top to make a change. But it's not just Cory Booker and Kamala Harris. It's throughout the globe. Why don't we see more people of color in these positions? Not just people of color. We're starting to see more women in Congress.
Yeah.
This was great. Let's keep it going. Let's keep that ball going, keep that energy going, and keep it going so that it spills out into the Iowas and Idahos and fucking, what, Utahs? Well, I don't know how Utah go.
You're Idaho.
Montana.
I apologize.
Montana. We were talking about Mormonism. That's why I said Utah.
Do you think anybody that's not looking like you could be elected in Montana?
There was a guy who was elected the mayor of Helena, Montana, who's a refugee from Ethiopia.
Yes is the answer.
That's what's up.
That's great.
That's what's up.
I'm not saying it's good that he's a refugee. That sucks. You shouldn't have to be a refugee. Nothing. No one's ever. It's the exact opposite.
But that's what's good. Well, here's what white people have been doing for years, and this is what we understand. We need to understand politics. George Bush is from Massachusetts, but their family is ingrained in Texas.
Yeah.
And people move to where they say, oh, you know what? We can get a foothold and get in government and change policy so that people.
Now they have an airport.
Callback.
There we go. Blues Traveler.
I just
the
think
heart brings you back.
That's a second callback.
I love that song.
Do you like either of them as a candidate?
Right now, we're talking about Kamala Harris
and Cory Booker.
Right now, I don't know. I brought them up because I'm looking at black people get upset about these people. Black people are questioning their blackness. And that's what I was looking at when I was watching this, bringing up these two people. I'm like, well, wait a minute now. Why are we questioning anybody's anything right now? It doesn't matter. As long as it's not this motherfucker in the White House again, who cares who gets him out of there? Which is exactly what they thought when they got Obama out. They were like, we don't give a flat ass who goes in. It's got to be somebody who can rally our base. Well, what is the base of the Democratic Party? Is it us? Well, if it is, let's rally and get behind some goddamn body. I don't care who it is. Let's not question anybody's fucking motives. I don't care if we want old man Bernie in there. Get him in there, get a good vice president in case he dies, and then let's keep it going.
Yeah.
Let's start thinking like they think. This is the bullshit. We go, oh, we got to think above. Above what? When somebody whooping your ass, whoop their ass back.
Ian, who do you like right now?
I haven't decided yet.
Of the field, do you like anyone right now? I know you're undecided about these two, but you don't really care. It's just too early for you.
For me, it's too early. And especially now, because I've been looking on the grander scale, but, you know, I deal more with local politics. And really just this past few weeks with the blackface incident and the incident that happened in Virginia to the lieutenant governor, I'm not that familiar with Virginia politics, but I'm like, wow, that is three Democrats about to be gone.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Is this, as a conspiracy reader, I go, well, is that some shit that they would do? Possibly. This is possible. Let's be aware that this stuff goes down and these people may be going down and who can we find to replace them? It just is what it is. But at the same time, how did this shit get that far without them being vetted? That's that question. So the people that we vet, like right now we're looking at Kamala and Cory Booker. Cory Booker has questions about Big Pharma. Kamala Harris has questions because she was a prosecutor in Oakland. These are the two candidates that I'm aware of. Why? Because they're on the Breakfast Club. These are people who come talk to me. And that's why people vote for president or vice president or any politician. These people come to them. They go to where the fuck they need to go to get the fucking vote. That's whoever I vote for, the person who comes to my house. You know why I switched to Fios? Because they knocked on my door. I don't know what Xfinity was offering because Fio said, hey, this is the deal we got.
That is the most apt way to summarize all politics as local.
Do it. That's what I'm saying. But since now we're thinking locally, but we have to know that we have to act globally. This country is ours. We are the next generation. We know that our fathers were fucked up. Not saying that, I'm talking about the guy in Virginia and both of them. Hell, my dad was a drug dealer. That don't mean I have to be a drug dealer. I'm not ashamed of who he was. I'm aware of who he was. And what do I need to do? Help make a change so that the next generation don't have to become fucking drug dealers.
I don't know if you know about Big Pharma. You can make a lot of money being a drug dealer, so I don't want to put that off
the
table.
They are drug dealers. They are drug. That's legal drugs, baby. Let's do it.
I think your kids can make a lot of money if they went into Big Pharma. So do you really want to take that away from him?
Aren't
you kind of mean to do that?
Well,
don't you want your children to succeed?
But I don't want them to. I put it this way. I don't want them to be the kid that happens to go to St. Albans and is selling their Adderall to the white kid, because my kid will get put out.
Yes, we know the reality of it, but my kid wouldn't, so it's fine, is what I'm saying.
Your kid was corrupted.
We have to end, not because I want to, but because we have to due to time. I need you to pick a number between 29 and 256.
29 and 275.
75. Why 75?
The year I was born.
That is out. You get 99.
That's great.
Are you afraid to ask questions when you don't understand something?
No.
For example... Well, this is fucking over. Thanks a lot.
I thought that was it. That was the point.
Well, then you didn't let me finish.
Oh,
doesn't matter. You already answered
the question.
See,
and that's what every white guy's saying right now. I apologize. Liam Neeson was like, "You won't let me finish. I'm sorry. I called him a black bastard. You said it twice, motherfucker. I know what that means on Game of Thrones."
I'm gonna give you.
I do. That means I don't know who my father is. Yes, I do.
I'm gonna give you Do you like Freakonomics or no?
Yes.
Okay, great. This is like a Freakonomics-esque type of book. I think it's better than Freakonomics. Called Everybody Lies by Seth Stevens David. I can't pronounce this fucking
What's
name.
His
That's
last
for
name?
You.
Davidowitz. Yeah. Yeah, I want to read this.
I loved that book. I read this in 2018, so that's yours.
This is about money, huh?
And then, what's your favorite baseball team?
Favorite baseball team?
Yeah.
You really want to know?
Why would I lie? Like, is that a personal question? Like, yeah. Do you have some Liam Neeson thoughts that I don't understand that relate to baseball?
No, Chicago Cubs.
Chicago Cubs. Really? It is. Yeah. Why?
First set of baseball cards I ever got.
It makes a lot of sense. Well, we don't have the Cubs, so you get the White Sox. There's Jose.
Second set.
Yeah, it's Jose Abreu, who's actually good.
I do have Bo Jackson's White Sox card.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I wish he was better on that team. But when
I know, right?
When you have
when
to
hit a home run when he came back.
When you have to rebuild a knee, it's not so easy. Heywood, do you got anything you'd like to plug?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Plug myself, plug the website, HeywoodTurnerCJr.com. Plug the Friday show that I do every Friday at the DC Draft House. It's called Attack of the Comics. Any shows coming up? Yes. But look at my website and then you'll find out what they are. That's pretty good from that point, right?
I like you a lot as a human
being. Oh, and my Instagram, like Ben was saying. Let's follow my Instagram.
Follow Instagram, which is owned by Facebook, which makes it evil and bad.
Follow Brandon's Instagram.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Heywood Turnipseed Jr. Ian, take it away.